just people who are out there doing amazing, amazing things. And so thank you for joining me on tonight. My name is Nia, founder of Be You for Purpose, and we are entering our last episode of Purpose Spotlight, where I get the wonderful opportunity to introduce two people and present to you two people who are being themselves for purpose and just doing wonderful things in their communities, for their families, just building legacies and just sharing the gifts that God has given them, basically. And so our first guest is no exception to this. She's a dear sister who I have known for some time now, and I haven't seen her in a long time, but we're going to get into all that, so I'm gonna bring her on. Her name is Kristen. Hear more of her story and the amazing things that she does. Technology is really interesting. Look at you, gorgeous. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Wow, your sound is probably the clearest and the crispest I've heard from any of my other guests. So kudos to you. I'm wonderful. Thank you. You look beautiful. And so thank you for taking the time out to come on here and to share your beauty and your knowledge and all of who you are with us. And so I know who you are, but for those who don't, can you go ahead and share with us a little bit about yourself, who you are, where you're from, and what it is that you do?
Yes. Okay. My name is Kristen Garrison, and I'm from Baltimore, Maryland. Nia and I know each other from Colonial Baptist, and been going there almost as long as I can remember. Is it almost 30 years? Dating myself, but yeah, it's been at least 20 some years.
Because you were there before we got there, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, tell your story. Go ahead.
Currently I have a keto or keto for friendly business, and I have a nutrition degree. My original degree was in forensics, and I switched it after a lot of people that I knew and loved came down with a lot of lifestyle illnesses, as we call them. And then I got sick, and wasn't sure what it was, but it kind of had me holed up in my room for a long time watching health documentaries. And so I decided to go back to school and get my second master's in nutrition, and focus on helping people live longer, as opposed to my original intention of trying to figure out how they died. So so that's how that pendulum swung in a totally different direction. So
yeah, I was going to ask that. I was like, wait a minute. You went from, I mean, it's two totally different opposites. But then you explain, it's like that makes perfect sense. So, yeah, keep
going. It's tied together in the middle by biochemistry. Thank God I could apply that degree and, you know, just go into another master's program. But when I decided to do it, it was a really difficult decision because I had spent a lot of time in school for, but it just felt like I needed to show people something. Yeah. Something wasn't right, you know, something about what we've been learning, what we've been taught, what we're seeing, something's not right, because the numbers and the prevalence is still getting worse and worse. And so I wanted to try to help people live healthier, longer lives, because the biggest killer is actually not other people. It's these lifestyle illnesses, cancer and diabetes and heart disease. Those are the big, you know, killers. I mean, try profiling those, you know. So that's what got me into nutrition, and I love cooking and baking. So I can show you better than I can tell you kind of person. So that's that's what I started doing.
Gotcha. And so as far as keto, can you explain what that is? As far as, you know, keto nutrition, what makes yours, you know, different in essence about what it is that you do?
Yeah, the most important part about it is trying to make your body more healthy by eliminating things that cause inflammation. So all illness is inflammation. There's acute and there's chronic. And we invite chronic inflammation to build up in our bodies by continuing to consume things that are just not good for us. Things that are either made of sugar or break down into sugar in our bodies. And so the goal of low carbohydrate or keto diets is to replace those potentially harmful ingredients and items in your diet with more healthful ones, more protein, healthy fats, getting your body into a state where it's burning fat, and that way it burns the stored fat in your body as opposed to just burning the carbohydrates that you just ate. And so it's not demonizing carbohydrates, which a lot of people think. I've been eating watermelon all summer. I have definitely been enjoying, my fair share, but there are, highly processed things that we want to eliminate. And so keto carnivore, ketovore is just a higher prevalence of the like meat, dairy, eggs, protein, animal products, healthy fats, and then also keeping carbs lower with like lower carb vegetables and berries and things like that. So originally I was baking because the thing that people fear giving up the most when they start is
Oh,
sweet.
yeah, desserts, yeah.
So I started baking, I started doing lots of keto desserts, and then I started a home-based bakery. And so that was really fun for a while. I did that for a couple of years, especially it started really a couple months after the pandemic started. And so yeah, so I did well with that. And then I actually am not a sweets person, so I was really just baking for other people. And so the stuff I missed the most was fried food. My favorite things ever, and just anything fried, honestly, like the texture, the flavors. I said, why is there not a keto fry mix? And because main ingredient is flour in fry mix.
That's true. True.
Said, okay, so I'm gonna try and figure something out. And so now what I'm doing with Ketovore Kitchen is our primary product is a keto friendly high protein fry mix. And it doesn't flour or sugar or gluten or soy or nuts or like a lot of other ingredients. So I'm really proud of it. And we've got multiple flavors and sell it on my website. And people really seem to enjoy it. So that makes me happy.
Oh, that's dope. So now something that you that I want you to go back to, because I kind of had this conversation with a client of mine. We were doing health coaching, and the question came up about carbohydrates. Can you define a little bit what makes a carbohydrate? And I only ask that because as a diabetic, there are certain things that qualify as carbohydrates. But a lot of it, from my perspective, is based on the sugar intake, but also the difference between carbohydrates versus starches. So can you talk about that a little bit?
So starches are incorporated in carbohydrates, but there are different kinds. There's simple, there's complex, and there's even resistant. And so scientifically and biologically, our body reacts different ways. So, with the simple carbs and simple starches, our body wants to use those as fuel first. And that's okay, but it depends on the consumption and your metabolism. I'm a big proponent of biohacking because it is individualizing your nutrition and wellness and your diet for yourself. So you can start out with the things that other people are doing, but then you have to do some experimentation, some narrowing, some tapering. And so there are people who live certain lifestyles, more active lifestyles, and their bodies will burn more carbohydrates in general than other people who are sedentary or people who genetically, their families tend to hold on to weight. Other people genetically, they tend to be slimmer. And so genetics and your biology and your genes is actually 70% determinant of what your body will be like. So the other 30% is the choices that you make. And so that's why it's so important to figure out what those choices should be to get to a place where you're healthy and you can maintain good health. And you don't always have to deprive yourself, but with the starches, the complex starches like root vegetables, like sweet potatoes is a really good one. Spaghetti squash. Some root vegetables are really, really have a lot of nutrients in it. But, then you turn out and you look and say, well, how do I access all those nutrients? And a lot of people don't know that the vitamins A, D, E, and K that are in sweet potatoes are fat soluble. So you should have fat. You should have butter with your sweet potatoes. And so a lot of people don't know that that can actually help your body to break down and absorb the nutrition from the complex carbohydrates that you're consuming. So when you eliminate them or severely restrict them, though, like you do on keto, that forces your body into the state of ketosis, which is a safe state. It's not the same as ketoacidosis, which I know a lot of diabetic people are concerned about. But
I have that, so yeah. Tell them if they got questions.
yeah,
You don't
so
want that. Go ahead.
yeah, you don't. But ketosis is a safe state where your body is burning the fat that you consume, as well as the fat stored in your body for fuel. But it's a switch that has to be flipped. It's not something that will just happen by eating one meal that's higher in fat. You have to cut severely the amount of carbohydrates, or else your body will burn those first, and then, the fat will be on the back burner for later.
Absolutely. That's a lot of like dope information, and actually, I guess we'll come back to that at the end. But with everything that you're doing now, all this knowledge and information, you did mention you have a website and producing the line of keto-friendly fry mix with the different flavors and all of that. With those given things and something that you may not have mentioned, is there what are you looking forward to do or preparing to do within the next short term and long term with Keto Board Kitchen?
I have several products and some ideas for some additional flavors for the fry mix. So I really want to test the greater marketplace to see the reception for the product. I have people who have purchased my product and they absolutely love it. We have a Facebook group called Keto Fry All the Things, where people share their recipes and what they're doing with their fry mix. And I love seeing people enjoy my food and not feeling bad about it, because I have a degree in nutrition and I can fry you some chicken, but I wouldn't feel great about giving it to you all the time, So I would, that's the feeling I enjoy, is seeing people enjoy my food and knowing that it's good for them, is contributing to a healthy lifestyle. So the next thing I'm going to do, I'm working on developing a Kickstarter campaign. So the information for that will be on my Instagram and my website, and I'll be putting it in my Facebook group. I'll be running ads, which is a very daunting task, but I'm really excited to try and see, if I can garner enough interest to get this like mass produced, and maybe, start actually selling it and shipping it all over. I do sell nationwide. I've, had some orders from all over the U.S., and I even have a customer in Korea.
That's
She's from here, but she's living in Korea now. So she gets it sent to her PO box and then sent to Korea. And I'm like, well, God bless you. I'm so glad you like it. I can't, I don't know. I know a lot about Asian food. And so I'm gonna say it's not impossible to do keto, but a lot of the recipes make it difficult. So I'm really glad that she has that out there. But yeah, so I want to do a Kickstarter, and I want to mass produce, and I have other products like my cauliflower grits or crits, my cauliflower mac and cheese, my keto lasagna, like things like that that I would love to get in stores one day. So I mean, I do want to make like a big like business or enterprise out of it, but we're growing. So I'm just.
That's wonderful. Now, when you say we, are you able to kind of share exactly what does we mean?
Me, myself, and I.
Okay, hey, that's three.
I am a solopreneur. I actually have a full-time role in healthcare as well. So it's just me right now. Moses, my husband, he helps sometimes, like if I do vendor events in the community and things like that, lugging all of my stuff and my deep fryer and my tables and all that kind of stuff. God bless him. So but I work with some contractors, which is nice to help with things like brand development, but mostly it's me with the recipe development, the posting and promotion, all of that. So I actually would love to expand. Please, let's all pray that I get to the point where I can expand, because I would absolutely love to. I like to have the I'm the ideas type of person. So actually like realizing it and making it concrete has been probably the biggest struggle, but it's been so exciting that I'm actually really, really motivated to do it.
And like I know I've seen you, I don't, man, when you say like you started What did you say? COVID, like right after COVID, right around that same time, at least with baking. I'm just like, yo, I feel like, but I've been watching her for a couple years, and maybe you were doing it maybe off and on every week.
I was doing meal prep. I was doing some baking, but it wasn't like really intense or serious. It was nothing where I felt like, okay, I need a website, and okay, I need to, do all these kind of things. But then I started doing meal prep, and my clients liked it, but I didn't. My body didn't like it, and so it was like working full time and then doing meal prep on the weekends. And I wake up on Mondays, and I started developing cubital tunnel actually, and so like I would wake up on Mondays numb from the elbow down, and ankles were like so swollen that I couldn't like walk immediately. Like it took me so long to just get out of bed and get somewhere. And I want to practice what I preach, and I'm a big proponent of doing what's best for your body and taking care of yourself. And I didn't really feel like that was my niche. So I enjoyed being able to do it, but at the same time, it was at a point where it wasn't great for me or my body. And so it's just kind of pivoting onto another thing. So when I got laid off due to COVID, I waited a couple months. I was trying to, do some experimenting, binge watching Great British Baking Show, all that kind of stuff, getting some ideas of recipes that I need to keto-fy. And that's kind of how I dove into having my own home-based keto bakery.
Wow, that's dope. And I think, just the fact that you looked at what you had, and even like you said, a lot like the meal prepping, it was conducive with what your clients were seeking, doing, asking for, whatever. But you yourself, you're like, I can't do this, at least continually, to give it is what you want. So you took it upon yourself to shift, which is awesome. Because I think so many people, especially when it comes to like clients, it's like, they're afraid of losing the clientele, if I do shift, or maybe they don't like what I'm doing or something like that. But it's like, if you can't give yourself 100%, or if you're not enjoying what you're doing or how you're doing it, then that's the other shoe you want to drop pretty fast at some point.
Now it's the job.
And so I think that's dope, a lot of times that does take courage, to be able to say, okay, if in order for me to push this through, to keep this going, I have to shift, I have to create that pivot. So I'm so glad you did that, and I can tell, and like even with that, like you've grown from that, you know what I mean? And so thank you for sharing that, what you say you have going on, and telling the story about how you even got there, like even just in the midst of COVID, just being able to recognize that so much, there was a lot of sorrow and grief. However, there was also a lot of beauty that came from it, and a lot of people said, you know what, let me do something that's been on my heart for a while. Let me just, take an extra step with this and see what can be produced. I mean, and like you said, now you got a website, you got a whole line of products and things like that, and more that's in your mind. And it's like there's nothing stopping you, girl. Like nothing at all. Like it's ready for you. It's waiting for you, So before I let you go, thank you so much again for joining me here. You mentioned a few different things from your Facebook page and Ketovore, your website. Can you kind of go through that again, and how can people get in contact with you? As in, I don't know if you're necessarily taking on clients, but if you're taking on clients, or they want to get more about your product line and all that, how can people get in touch with you?
Absolutely. So my website is ketovorekitchen.com, KETOVORE kitchen.com. And my Instagram is ketovore.kitchen. And my Facebook page is Ketovore Kitchen. And my group is called Keto Fry, which is the name of the fry mix. Keto Fry, one word, all the things. So we are literally in there trying to figure out all the different things that we can use the fry mix for, and we have come up with a lot, and I still have a list that I'm checking things off of. So I love to post in there and, get other people's ideas as well. So it's been really fun. I hope people will try the fry mix. I sell it in 4, 8, and 16 ounce bags. I do ship it, but I do also have it available for local pickup at Windsor Mill. And you can order for local pickup through my website for that and my cauliflower grits. So.
The message, if you can just leave, I guess as your parting words, just those who are in that space of trying to figure out what works best for me, because it was something that you didn't mention, and I meant to write it down. I meant to come back to it as far as, understanding your body type, just like that. Or not even body type, but just understanding what works for your body. So what is your message or your advice, if I can use that term, for those who are trying to figure this whole nutrition thing out and don't really know where to start?
Okay, so with biohacking, I'm a big fan of that because you are individualizing your own nutrition. It may mean that you're eating differently from everyone else in your household or everyone else that you know, but the way that you feel and the way you respond, and the longevity that you can attain for yourself living more healthily is 100% worth it. And you may be able to help others realize that there are better ways that they can be eating just by observing you and not just how you look. Weight loss isn't even the biggest focus, in my opinion, but not just how you look, but also like how you feel and how you act. I started keto and I started cutting certain things out of my diet. And I worked in customer service. So, you have a customer service smile and you have a customer
Yeah.
service. But the people who are behind the scenes with you, they know when that voice is gone and they know when that phase shuts down. So when I started keto and I started biohacking and, learning more about nutrition and I was on the right track, people thought I got lo a lobotomy. They're like, what has you so cheerful today? And it's just, a different type of like attitude and a feeling and just the way that you just present yourself even to people unknowingly. Other people will notice because you are figuring it out. You are finding the right key for your own biology. And so that's a really important thing for me. And I think so my favorite Bible verse is delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And so I'm trying to apply that to life and to health and wellness. The things I delight in terms of my niche are flavor and nutrition, honestly. And so trying to find those combinations and make healthier versions of things, that is what delights me. Meal prep, not so much. Baking even. It was fun, but more proving that it could be done. That's what delighted me. And so I'm trying to work within that niche and the things that delight me and that make me feel more fulfilled and like I am fulfilling even the purpose that God has for me. Because for me, it was so fascinating to me ever since probably elementary or even middle school. I did electrophoresis in the science fair. Forensics was always fascinating to me, but when I got sick and when I started losing people to dementia and cancer and diabetes and Alzheimer's, and it was just really, really hard to start to notice that something wasn't right. Something just didn't feel right. So that was the bigger mystery that I actually wound up going back to school for nutrition and solving. And so the things that I desire, including health and well-being for my family, like my parents are really healthy, my very healthy, my brother and his wife and my husband, like everybody's doing really well health-wise right now. And it makes me really, really happy to just kind of be able to do that even within my immediate family. And then spread the word to, other people that I know and love, and then other people who just can get that kind of thing benefit from my products. That's what I definitely want to do.
So that biohacking and being changed, like you said, just that curiosity and experimenting, and in a way it almost sounds like have fun with it, and like, because it's okay if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Okay, go on to the next thing, and then of course if you need some extra help, you got people like you, and just say, hey, come reach out to her, go find Christian, she'll talk to you, she'll let you know what's up. So
Absolutely.
but thank you, yeah, so much for coming on. I genuinely appreciate you. Again, you look fabulous.
Thank
And
you.
yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, you have so much ahead of you, and I can't wait to see what's next.
Thank you, friend. I appreciate it so much.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a joy. We'll talk soon.
All right, talk to you later.
Bye. Bye. So that was part one of our season finale, and wait for part two. I have one more person, and I'm going to see if I can actually bring her on. I'm super excited about her and what she has to share, the amazing things that she's doing. Where'd it go? Oh, nope. Yeah, and so while I'm waiting for Ebony, I'm just super excited. Like, people are just doing amazing things, and I think just hearing Kristen's story even more about the beauty that came out of COVID. You hear COVID, and even still to this day, I mean, not as negative and not as sorrowful as it was, when it first started, but. Just to get to the point where we are now, where you're hearing the stories of, once COVID hit, it was almost like that shift, that pivot, that had to take place. And so you have so many people who use that as a launching pad. One of our, Brittany, a couple episodes ago, she talks about that. It was during COVID where she created the game And Let the Church Say. It's a beautiful game, and she's doing really well. And so it's, uh-oh. And so it's pretty awesome just to see how people have taken such a, in a certain way, unfortunate, type of situation, but they took advantage of it. They didn't sit around and slump, but they really took it upon themselves to fill whatever voids are missing in their lives. So it's pretty dope and pretty amazing to see. I know Ebony was just on here, but so we're trying to get some things straight with all that. I'm gonna give her a couple more minutes, and you may have to go off and then come back on, so that way we can do this last episode for the season, and then after that, I'll give some, what do they call it, housekeeping, just some announcements after that, as far as what's going to happen when we're going to get started with season four, and other ways that you can hear episodes, not episodes, but seasons two and three. Season one is actually on, is on Be You for Purpose, the podcast. So if you go on Anchor and Spotify, if you go look for that, then they'll be able to find you. Ebony, if you can hear me, I see it says you're not able to join. Try doing it through the live. I'm not sure if you're coming through, if you're going through the message. So try to come on through the live, and then we'll go from there. But yeah, it's super, super dope. So yeah, so that's what I was saying. Go through Anchor, go through Spotify, look for Be for Purpose, a podcast. You can catch season one of Purpose Spotlight. Has some dope people there, that I was super excited about, and to see where they are now. And I feel like we may need to bring some people back to see what's happened just within the last year. Because you started in November. No, is that a true statement? No, October of last year. Just to see what even a couple months, what a lot of people are doing, just amazing things. Just get a chance to recap, revisit, and see just what they're doing. Let's try this again. All right, so what I think I'll do is that I'll go off and then come back on, so I can figure out what's going on. So I'm gonna go off really quickly and then come back on. Actually, hold on, I'm gonna try one more thing.
Gonna do that. Let me go back here.
Yeah, and in the process of that, while this, sorry about the interlude saying a little bit longer, but this is actually the second live that I've done today. The first one was earlier, like around 10, I think, that I did with Cam, who you just heard. And we were just talking about conflict resolution and just kind of in align with another video that I did recently talking about, we just burn bridges and cut people off and just go from one thing to the next to the next to the next because we don't know how to resolve conflict. We don't know how to put the effort in. We don't know how to fight for one another, for our families, for our marriages, for relationships. And obviously there is a time to do that. But from what I see most times, it's just people, they just give up way too quickly, especially as a Christian and as a believer, like with whatever decision that we're making, if it's not glorifying to God, or if this decision that I'm about to make, if it goes against His word, then no, we shouldn't be doing it. Yes, we need to back away. Yes, we need to set some very clear boundaries. But at the end of the day, before you just start cutting people off, it's like, if I stay in this, or even if I love from a distance, you know what I mean? Can God, or will He be glorified? What's the likelihood of that? Or can He be glorified in this situation? This is a cancel culture, as they call it, and of course, with the new year coming, new year, I'm cutting people off from last year who didn't do yada yada yada, and but you got people who do that every year, and so it's like there has to be a common denominator, or you just don't know how to build meaningful relationships, and you see so much divorce, so that's not what this is about. So I'm going to get off of here, and then I want to come back and do the second interview. Here she is. Hello. How are you?
Hi.
Hey.
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Can you hear me? Is there a delay?
There's not a delay. It's a little low, but I can still hear you okay. And it may be because
Okay,
I'm
cool.
sitting in front of a vent.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Yes. So I know your time is precious, so we won't keep you on here long, but thank you for gracing us with your presence. And I'm super excited to hear for people to share a lot about what you're doing, because I've seen this thing start from, ooh, 2000. Dang. 10, no. What am I? I don't even know what I'm, I don't even know what reference point I have. 10 or 12? Does that sound about right?
Yeah, didn't you sing with Emmanuel's group at some point?
Yeah,
Didn't, so you came with Simply Righteous stuff. So that was pre 2006. So that was like maybe like 2002, 2003, 2004 maybe.
That's 20 years, Ebony.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so people can have context of what the hell we're talking about. Please go ahead and share with us who you are, what it is that you do.
Well, my name is Ebony Yehuda. I count myself as a social entrepreneur. My business is to help businesses, and I do that in various ways. I have an LLC, I have a nonprofit, and then, I have just myself being a resource. And so what we were just talking about are I guess a couple of different things. Nia and I connected. We have mutual friends that, at the time, being a young Christian, you're looking for ways to be outside of the church but still be, doing what you're supposed to be doing. And so, And so we were able to create space for open mics and for individuals to come out and share. And I don't even know why. I think, you know, just like really thinking about everything that happened, you know, since then, it's just so much has happened. But then, you know, fast forward maybe 6, 7 years, mm-hmm. and that poetry ministry had dissipated and everybody kind of went their own ways, still friends, but, you know, just not doing the same things. And I was sitting on the bus one day and, you know, just kind of flashing through my mind was a resource center and one that spoke to the arts, one that spoke to the community, one that spoke to the local artists, one that spoke to the theater buffs, you know what I mean? A space for the whole community to be able to come and experience the arts. Mm-hmm. And I shared it with my father and he's like, yeah, but where does that start? And so long story short, what came from that conversation was Lantern Mindsets, mm-hmm. and trying to develop a network of individuals or identify like-minded individuals that wanted to put on these events and be a resource to the community through the sorts of events that we put on. And so since then, lots of things have evolved, but that's definitely where it started 20 years ago. That's how you know you're old. That's how you know you're old when you're referring to 20 years ago, thinking it's only been about 10.
and like you're old enough to remember it. You know, it's a who's in my life?
Right. I was spending my own money. I was driving somewhere. Like, whoa, you know. But what I do in a nutshell is I've just created avenues to impact small businesses, entrepreneurs, and artists. And so I do that by providing communications, marketing support for small businesses for that niche. And what I offer is customizable. It's, you know, maybe you're a singer and you have a podcast and you also go out and you perform or you're booked. So in building out a website, what are the components that you would need versus the individual that has a band that's really looking to tour or, you know, has a CD and that's like what they're pushing. You know, like, you know, as an artist, you're going to want something different. And so the packages that I put together are just that, are what that person needs. And so it could be collateral, which is, you know, your flyers and whether it's digital or print. It could be the websites, it could be the logo, it could be branding in general. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to talk fast, so hopefully I don't sound all shaky. But
it's one of the things, take your time, but I know you got something to do, so I'm just trying to ask.
I have a 2-year-old, so you know, like I'm like this moment right here, this quiet is just like I'm trying to get everything into this moment. But hopefully the viewers will hear my heart.
Yeah.
In that, you know, that's a for-profit business, meaning that I'm going to come out with something from it that's monetary, that was, mm-hmm. you know, part of a quote. But because I'm not fixed around money and I don't feel like that's where you really feel the things that touch your heart have nothing to do with money. And mm-hmm. so I think you were part of this team, Nia. I think we had a conversation at, where do we go, to Panera Bread, big long table, it was a ton of us at the table, and I was like, all right, so what do we do for the community? How are we a resource? What can we do to give back? What kind of community service event can we do? What is it called? And so we start throwing around names, and Gracie, I cannot remember her current last name, but at the time, Gracie Owens, you know, she ended up taking on that project. And the first event, which was a community service event that we went to Ronald McDonald House.
Yeah.
And you know, we had the program called LM Cares, which was Lantern Mindset Cares, had the logo, and we did that first event. And, you know, I was like, I think at that point, even though, you know, you have a brain child and you're young and there's no real boundaries,
mm-hmm.
I think the unknown kept stumbling me. And so through the years, you know, it's been 20 years that you and I've been, you know, kind of working around and with each other in ministry and community service. And in all that time, I feel like I've really been saying the same sorts of things, you know, mm-hmm. to the different groups of people, and all the while learning and getting some experience, yeah. and understanding, yeah. you know, the demographics and understanding, like, you know, we have an understanding of Baltimore County, but what do you know about Baltimore City? And where do the needs lie? And where do the venues, you know, where are the venues and where are the networks and all of that? So I had to spend some time kind of learning, you know? And so in that time, Be Light Media is the LLC, Lantern Mindset is the nonprofit. And then I'm Ebony Yehuda. And yeah. I've recently been working on a festival called the Baltimore River Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's a personal project. I call it a passion project. And the festival is free, all day concerts, all day free workshops, things for children to do. You know, it's outdoors for those who, you know, don't feel very comfortable being indoors for long amounts of time with people you don't know, or, you know, whatever it is, or for people who, you know, get hot and want to go into AC, you know, we have a plethora of ways for you to be comfortable while you're experiencing. We have vendors that sell all sorts of things, local. I think we have people as far as maybe Delaware. I want to say one of the vendors is coming from that far, but we have some familiar faces that always come through as vendors. And I think that the community is starting to recognize the festival as something to look forward to. It's actually a festival that is 20 years old or a little bit over 20 years old. And in 2016, I came on just as kind of like a supportive role. I did the logo and it was just part of conversation. And in that time, since like 2016, I've gotten to the place where I'm one of the co-coordinators or co-directors. And so, you know, all of it's been a learning experience, because you remember when I said that my flashback to Lantern Mindset sets, or my daydream was a resource center, that mm-hmm. was all of the stuff. But, you know, what do you know about event planning and how to pick a venue, and, you know, who do you know in these different circuits that have theaters, and, you know, all of those sorts of things. And it is definitely taken that amount of time to do it, because I don't think that I've taken the route that everybody else has taken.
And I think the beautiful thing about that is that nothing was forced, in a sense of you took your time, you know, wasn't like, well, I got to get this, and this done, you know, because I don't know it, you know, and so let me step back, you know, call it humility if you want, but let me step back, learn what I have to learn, recognize what I do know, what I'm good at, build on those strengths, you know, but then also on top of that, you know, like a resource center, like it's one of those things, like people hear, it's like, oh, it can't be that much, you know, you just got like a, what do you call it, a file deck, you just got to tell people, you need this, okay, boom. But it's so much more than that. So even can you, if you have the time, can you explain a little bit about what you mean by resource center?
So I think I don't want to act like I was not frustrated. So for all the entrepreneurs and artists and stuff like that, that are trying to, you know, put their stamp out there and be seen and be known and at least, you know, rank somewhere in the Google search, you know what I mean? Like for people that are aspiring to be there, it definitely has been frustrating, and mm-hmm. there definitely has been struggle that's part of all of this. And some of it is because I think I saw the end result before I had even started the training. Mm. You know, it was almost like, oh, resource center. Like, yeah, I've been thinking about that my whole life. Like, no, it just came to me. And mm-hmm. it, all of a sudden it's a serious passion of mine. And, you know, for somebody that says, well, how is it a serious passion and in 20 years you haven't manifested it? it's just what I said. I think that in 20 years, you know, I've been learning, mm-hmm. you know, and I've been developing into someone who could possibly say, I have a resource center, or I've built a space and these individuals whatever it's called when you have a bunch of different organizations that are running out of the same.
A collective, something like that.
All of that, you know, it's understanding that that's even what you need. And so, and you didn't even ask me this, but I would just encourage entrepreneurs, you know, if you don't feel like it's coming fast enough, really assess where you're going and think, if you got it tomorrow, would you be prepared? Like, would you understand? You know, like I've had the LLC, or I've done the things that I'm doing with my LLC for at least 20 years, because I was doing the flyers for the events that, you know, Nia and I first started, you know, co-mingling at. And, you know, so in that time, you know, I've gotten to the place where now I understand, like, I need to get this accountant, and I need to talk to these people, and I need to make sure that these things are straight, because I really do want to be a legit business. You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing to be like, oh, yeah, I work for myself. But, like, you know, like, do you work for yourself? Mm-hmm. And are you able to project where you're going? You know, where is your business going? Is there a model? And even if you can't do it yourself, are you trying to figure out the resources for those companies that'll do it for you? You know, and I think that that's something that anybody, and even artists, because I think so often artists don't establish their business so that they can, you know, demand their price, you know, like, you're gigging, if that's you, then, you know, you got to get your price so that you can pay your bills, you know? And so I encourage all of the creatives, you know, understand the business side of what you're doing, because that's where your freedom is. It really is.
Yeah.
You asked what is a resource center? And so the resource center is all of those things, but it's actually really small. Somebody that has a lantern mindset can say, I am a resource center. And within my community, I'm going to make my resource known so that people can come to me because I'm a resource center, you know? And if you have that mindset, then those same people would say, oh yeah, well, you know, we're doing a code drive, or, you know, we're going to do care packages for these individuals, or blah, 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 you know, but also be able to put on the events that will create a networking environment, which is another type of event that I do. But I feel like I'm talking a whole lot, so I'm just going to stop.
Sorry, I was taking notes. I wasn't like, yeah, she's no. But I think that that's super dope, you know, and just that process of learning. And I think with what you're building, you know, that piece of reflection where it's like, when I evaluate where I am versus where I say I'm trying to go, you know, and also to tag along with what you say, you know, about people say, you know, I got a business for myself. Okay, that's great. But is it really a business, or is it a hobby? Is it just something that you kind of do on the side, or are you actually working to make this an excellent product or an excellent service? You know, so that way when someone is looking for, okay, I need to find information about this, but I don't know where to start. Where can I go? You know, I can go to this resource center. You're the first one that pops up, you know, and so that piece of excellence and understanding where you're trying to go, that thing got to be fostered and it has to be nurtured, you know, because it's like Oprah didn't become Oprah overnight. You know, Tyler Perry didn't become Tyler Perry overnight. You know, they'll be the first to tell you, like, it took time, you know, the lessons that they have to learn in that grunt work, you know, of being consistent and understanding, you know, that if I want this thing to last, if I want this thing to be strong and effective and do what I want it to do, you know, then I have to take it upon myself to become the person that can handle it. Because you hear a lot of it, you know, in sports where they come like straight out of high school or even out of college. And so now he's got millions of dollars, but a year later, it's all gone. you know, because they don't know how to spend it. They don't know how to do business. They don't know how to look at the contracts or make adjustments or things like that. And so that learning curve, you know, is something that a lot of people like to skip over. But anything, you know, that's worth having that has that elongation factor, it takes time. And it sucks, you know, because someone's like, yo, I want to get it now. You know, I want to be able to do this. But it's like, yo, pause. Pause. Everything has its time. Because like the very question that you asked, with whatever you're praying for, with whatever you're believing for, if you had it tomorrow, are you prepared to handle it? You know, because some of us, if we got what we've been praying for right now, it would fall. You know, it would, you know, I mean, that's with anything, you know.
Yeah, it's like the lottery. If somebody were to win $1 million, like I don't know how many people are HGers. I'm sorry, there's like a little mad in here. HGTV people, but like I watch lots and lots of home stuff. And so one of them is like my lottery dream house or something like that, right? And so what they do is they interview the people that won money that are going to buy houses with some of the money that they purchased.
Oh, I mean, okay.
And so you get to see like the people that splurge and are like, oh my gosh, I'm getting the biggest house and I want the pool and I want this and location and da 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 da. And then you have the people that are like, you know, like I have 5 children and, you know, we're saving for some things. So, you know, I'm fine with $150,000 house, which is, you know, medium standard here and wherever. And so, you know, oh my gosh, did I really forget where I was going with this on live?
You're talking about the lottery ticket. Oh, yeah.
I know. it's like, you know, do you have the mind to really think through what that sort of abundance means? You know, like there's a saying like, if he called you, then he'll equip you, right? So if you're called to do the job, you know, if you're supposed to be doing it right now, if you're right where you're supposed to be, then you have everything that you need.
Yeah.
If you're sitting back and you're dreaming about that thing and you're wondering some of the steps to get there, if you had it right now, some of those steps is what you needed to build up your endurance and your muscle and all of that sort of stuff. You know, like, I don't know. I really do feel that life is a journey and a race, and not in the sense that we're competing against each other, but in the sense of an athlete, you know, in all aspects. So I know I missed the conversation that delved a little bit into health, but you know, we're keeping up the physical man, keeping up the spiritual man, you know, and then, you know, part of that spiritual man is also taking care of the mental. Part of that physical stuff is taking care of the mental, you know, and so then you get that wholeness. And so that's the other component of Lantern Mindsets. The people can not only say, the people in my network, the people who support what we do, the people who just identify, oh yeah, that sounds good. You have a Lantern Mindset. I'm just letting you know you have a Lantern Mindset. And it's not no weird cult or anything like that. It's, you know, if you're thinking like I'm thinking, then that means you have a Lantern Mindset.
Yeah.
And, you know, we live in the world of hashtags and, you know, coin phrases and memes and all of that stuff. And so, and also the grant world. So you have to be able to, you know, put a whole lot of words to it. But the reality is that Lantern Mindsets is focused on cooperative economics and wellness for the community. That's what the focus is. And so everything that you see that comes out of Lantern Mindsets is going to focus on those things, and it's going to benefit the local community. And then in the instance that we do things that are virtual, which are like fundraisers and workshops and things like that, it's the global community. I think that we're in a time where, you know, our audience is everywhere, and we should be prepared, you know, to offer that resource if we put ourselves on the platform, you know? So,
Awesome. Well, thank you. You shared like a whole bunch of stuff just now. And thank you so much for taking the time out. I know I can still hear your breath. You check us up. You know, I hear somebody. What's that? Okay. So before you do go, because you already shared your message, you showed us what you did, what you do. The final piece of this is that, can you share how people can get in contact with you, how they can connect with you, see what you're doing? You talked about Be Like Media, so even that piece of the puzzle to build your website or content, however all that works, how can people reach Lantern Mindsets and or Ebony?
Hey, so you know, all of those words drove me to create a website that is literally my name. So it is EbonyYehuda.com. And so everything that's me, all the things that I offer, all the ways that you can get involved are found right there on that website. There's also a contact form at the bottom. So if there's any specific question you have, like maybe you don't feel like really clicking through the site, you just have a specific question, or you heard I do websites and just wants a little bit more information about that, it's fine. You know, or you can even DM me here on Instagram. It's all Ebony Yehuda. I will definitely respond either way. One will come via email response, and then the other will be on Instagram.
Or it's a big bird. Well, I'm going to let you go and be amazing. And thank you so much for joining me here and for sharing yourself, you know, your time, your energy. You know, I don't take that for granted. It's been an honor. So I'm going to let you go. Again, be great. You look beautiful with your wrap and all that stuff, all the gorgeous, the lot. It's given. So, yes. So in all your full glory, go be beautiful. Go be amazing. And we'll definitely talk and see you again soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening today, and I hope you can join me again for the next time on Be You for a Purpose, the podcast.